Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Because of the length of the reading from Lamentations chapter 3, I have broken it up, and in the middle we will be speaking a portion of this reading responsively. So I'll indicate when it's time for that. A reading from the book of Lamentations, the third chapter. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again, the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys and the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. We continue with the responsive portion. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall.
My soul continually remembers it, and is bowed down within me.
But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him.
It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth.
Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him.
Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope.
Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults.
For the Lord will not cast off forever.
But though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love.
For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. To crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High, to subvert a man in his lawsuit, the Lord does not approve. Who has spoken and it came to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us scum and garbage among the peoples. All our enemies open their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have come upon us, devastation and destruction. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the daughters of my city. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They flung me alive into the pit and cast stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my cause. You have seen all their vengeance, all their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, all their plots against me. The lips and thoughts of my assailants are against me all the day long. Behold, they're sitting and they're rising. I am the object of their taunts. You will repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them dullness of heart. Your curse will be on them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under your heavens, O Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Mark, the 15th chapter. And the soldiers led Jesus away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Is there any hope in the book of Lamentations? Is there any hope even amid their great suffering and their near total destruction? There's no denying that the first two chapters have been extremely dark, even depressing. Judah and Jerusalem have fallen. What was once so majestic now lies in ruins. Even the temple and God's altar are gone. Why? What happened? Because God's people had refused to listen. Because they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't repent of their false gods. They wouldn't repent of their godless living. And so instead of mercy, they experienced anger. Instead of forgiveness, destruction. But you and I both know that this isn't what God wanted. God wasn't sitting there waiting for them to mess up so that he could pour out his wrath on them. He was waiting and he was patient, desiring that they would turn. That's what he wanted. He wanted his people to be his people, to turn to him and trust him. And when they wouldn't, after ages and ages of refusing, he allowed them to be conquered. He allowed them to be conquered so that when everything was gone and taken away, they might turn back to the one indestructible and unchangeable, to him. Now in chapter 3, Jeremiah gets personal with his lamentation. You might have noticed that it begins in the first person. I am the man who has seen the affliction under the rod of wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again, the whole day long. Jeremiah not only looks at the suffering of Judah and Jerusalem, Jeremiah speaks of his own suffering. He suffered even though he was God's servant and even though he spoke God's word. Even before Jerusalem's destruction, he suffered. He suffered rejection and mockery, scorn and physical abuse by the people who refused to listen. And even though Jeremiah tried at times to quit, even though he begged God to just let him stop, he couldn't. He was God's prophet, and that made him a suffering servant. What do we learn from Jeremiah here? We learn that being a Christian and fulfilling our vocations in this world can be difficult, and it may involve suffering. On top of our own sin, there's the sin of others. There are the assaults and attacks of the devil. There is the lure of the world. And we endure God's discipline. Sometimes we even endure God's discipline in such a way that he seems to be silent or absent. We see death and destruction. We see God's truth challenged. And we see when we look at ourselves just how weak and helpless we are, like Jeremiah. And yet Lamentations 3 has some of the most beautiful words of hope and some of the greatest gospel comfort in the entire Bible. Right in the middle of this book of Lamentation, in this pivotal chapter, Jeremiah says, in words that we spoke responsively, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall, but I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men." Isn't this just an astonishing passage? And even more astonishing when you realize that it's in the middle of this book of lament. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Of course, it doesn't look like that. What Jeremiah saw with his eyes was Judah and Jerusalem devastated. His mercies never come to an end. But it doesn't look like that. Where were they to find mercy now that the temple had been leveled? They are new every morning. And yet, to be honest, when Jeremiah woke up, every morning seemed to bring the same thing: smoldering fires and cries of grief. Jeremiah here is not speaking about what he sees. He is speaking about what he believes. He walks by faith and not by sight. He believes that what God has been, he will be still. He believes that what God has promised, he will do. He believes that what God revealed about himself to Moses is forever true. A God, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, full of steadfast love. The Lord doesn't change. Great is his faithfulness, even when the world around us falls apart. And therefore, I will hope in him. I will trust in him. I am confident in him. I am more confident in him than I am in what I see with my own eyes. That's what Jeremiah says. More confident in him than I am about my own feelings. But the Lord had something greater in mind even than the restoration of Judah and the rebuilding of Jerusalem. In his steadfast love, he would restore his people with an even greater act. He sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the suffering servant for the sin of the world. Jesus came not only as one who was speaking the Word of God, but he came as the one who was in himself the Word of God in the flesh. He came not just to call sinners to repentance and to warn them of the wrath of God, but he came to save sinners, to be our life and our hope. It is for us that Jesus suffered. For us, he was ridiculed and mocked. For us, the crown of thorns was pressed into his head. For us, he was abused and reviled. Our Lord came into the darkness. He took our place in the very heart of darkness. He was forsaken by the Father. You heard the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? He bore the full wrath of God against sin, that he might reconcile us to the Father by his own blood. It's because of Jesus and his cross that we believe the words of Lamentations 3. It is his cross that proclaims to us again and again, even in the midst of our suffering and the challenges that we face, it is his cross that proclaims that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and that his mercies never come to an end, but are new every morning. We have not been cast off forever. Though the Lord condemn, he will yet save. And when all our sin has been judged and condemned in Christ, what remains is that steadfast love and that forgiveness of the Lord. Even with everything around him burning, Jeremiah saw this promise from afar. He looked beyond the rubble. He looked beyond the destruction of what had been Jerusalem. And he saw the coming Savior. We too live in a world of sin, of sadness, of suffering and death. But we don't despair. We repent. We know the Savior who has come, and we know that this same Savior is coming again. Our Lord is and ever shall be gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. It is guaranteed with a cross. Great is his faithfulness. In him we hope. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Father, at your Son's invitation we come to his table. Help us to discern in the bread his true body, and in the cup his true blood. Give us, by your holy law, a right judgment of ourselves, that lamenting our sins we would receive pardon and absolution in this most holy sacrament, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness,
and let your saints shout for joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care,
and guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity, and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. For the needy shall not always be forgotten,
and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Gracious Jesus, our Lord and our God, at this hour you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness. Have mercy upon us now and at the hour of our death, and grant to us, your servants, with all others who devoutly remember your blessed passion, a holy and peaceful life in this world, and through your grace, eternal glory in the life to come, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.